On Christmas Eve in 1822, a sleigh ride home from Greenwich Village allegedly inspired Clement Clark Moore to write the poem that would memorialize Christmas forever after. Parents have recited A Visit from St. Nicholas for nearly two centuries. We suspect parodies of The Night Before Christmas are very nearly as old. We issued an email challenge earlier. We want to hear your parodies on politics, on baseball, on Donner, or on Blitzen. We welcome callers, too. The phone number, 800-989-8255. You can post your doggerel at our website. That's at npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation. And our first entry comes in the politics arena, and our guest contestant, Ken from Potomac, Maryland, who happens to be with us here in Studio 3A.
North Potomac.
North Potomac, thank you very
much. This will end my career if this show hasn't already. Okay, here we go. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and we at NPR decided to review the year in politics, near and afar. It started off clear, so sure were we. The nominees would be Mitt and perhaps Hillary. He had the hair and the great wealth. She had connections and the program for health. But then something happened that ended in surprise. Obama and McCain wound up with the prize. Barack, he was called. What a strange name, not to mention Obama, let alone Hussein. He was new to the Senate, a new shining light. But he had his problems, think Reverend Wright. And then there was Bill, who for Hillary he made his pitch. He could do anything he wanted. Remember Mark Rich? The Clintons were tough, there was no question. But Obama never gave up. It was as if he was destined. He smiled. He reasoned, he spoke out for hope. So what if he spent his college days smoking that dope? On the GOP side, it was another good story. John McCain was on top, but many were worried. On taxes, on torture, and the immigrant fight. He was not one of them, said the folks on the right. So what did he do with his chances of fading? He picked that woman, this Sarah Palin. She was tough, wore lipstick, and came from Alaska. Was she going to help John McCain and the Republicans? You betcha. Oh, sorry. But then something happened to end their mood euphoric. She had trouble with questions and won Katie Couric. Bristow was pregnant, in love thanks to Cupid, but ultimately it came down to the economy, stupid. The collapse of the Dow, the growing unemployment number, proved more important than John or Sarah or Joe the plumber. This year, of course, was more than just this, and if Neil allows me, I'll continue my list. Religion was important, and family, too. Just ask Vito Fisella, he had two. And poor Tim Mahoney, he who replaced Mark Foley. The Florida Democrat had his own sex scandal. Holy moly! Bill Jefferson, his money in the freezer, he couldn't explain how. No matter, he lost his seat to a Vietnamese-American named Gao. President Bush, down on his luck, went to Baghdad and managed to duck. Two shoes were thrown, was the journalist's role. Bush saw the reporter and looked into his soul. Caroline Kennedy, as a child, there was no one cuter. Now she has to spend her weekends and Christmas in Buffalo and Utica. But if you think campaigning for the Senate is really a bitch, just think it could be worse. You could be Rod Blagojevich. Want to buy a Senate seat? Do you have money I can keep? If you don't, then all I can say is bleep, bleep, bleep. I'm sorry for this poem. It is a bit clunky, but I urge you to read my daily blog, which just so happens to be found at npr.org/junkie. Merry Christmas, Neil.
Merry Christmas, Ken. Ken will be back in the new year and every Wednesday.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll have to check that list with the political junkie. In the meantime, we got "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" parody from Paul in Jacksonville, Florida. The day after Christmas, 'twas the day after Christmas, and what did I find? Half my Christmas cards hadn't been signed. In fact, they're still sitting quite snug in their box right next to my pile of new Christmas socks. So out to the table I move with a shuffle to send out late greetings with nary a hustle, to bid special people the peace and good cheer that comes to our families at this time of year. And never so mellow a time will we find than the day after Christmas, a time to unwind. Let's see if we can get some callers on the line. And let's go to Leslie. Leslie's with us from Farmington Hills in Michigan.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and just in the Senate, McConnell and Shelby were working not to get it. Money, that is, to the big three, you see, because they might think, oh, Lord, it's free. And that's about all I got.
That's about all. Well, that's pretty quick work anyway, Leslie. Thank you. I guess that was 'twas the night before bailout.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks very much. Merry Christmas.
Hey, you happy Hanukkah.
Johnny in Lafayette, Colorado. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the White House, the movers were stirring to move W out. The stock markets were hung by his tender care with hopes that St. Obama soon would be there. Then on the South Lawn, there arose such a clatter, he called up Dick Cheney to see what was the matter. Gone Rumsfeld and Rove and Scooter and Vixen, gone Rice and Gonzalez and the ghost of Dick Nixon, and the country decided as he went out of our sight, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Again, that from Lafayette, Colorado. Let's see if we can get, this is, excuse me, Dave. Dave's on the line from White Bear Lake in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
All right, thanks. 'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the nations, the people and leaders were all losing patience. With economies tanking and job losses mounting, a new band of leaders would soon face surmounting. Problems of makers of autos and toys, problems of parents of girls and of boys. The stocks were all hung, how they waxed and they waned. Investments did tumble, 401ks pained. Then what to our beleaguered eyes should appear but a man named Obama, who said change was near. We all hoped and prayed that soon change was in sight, but all we could do is wait and sit tight. On Daschle, Obama, and Hillary Clinton, your voters are waiting, your people have listened. Bail out consumers with all types of debts. We'll fund cars and banks, on this you can bet. For those with foreclosures and those with high debts, we closed our eyes tight, and our hopes we set. That a change was soon coming, a change was so near. All hope was returning, the end of our fear. On Daschle, Obama, and Hillary Clinton, your voters are waiting, your people have listened. Bail out the people with debts small and large. We know you can do it. You'll soon be in charge. An out-of-work writer with nothing to do just wrote down these words to say this to you. When hope is all gone, not a chance left in sight, let's all stick together and hang in there tight.
I was going to say, that's quick work, Dave, so you're an out-of-work writer. So
you got that right.
Okay. Merry Christmas, and thanks very much for the quick work.
Thank you very much.
But we got this from Kate. 'Tis the day after New Year's and all through the home. Thank goodness it's over. Now leave me alone. My family's hung over by the chimney. It reeks from all that cheap booze they've inhaled for 6 weeks. The house guests are gone now, that motley pack. Uncle Herbert the pervert and ex-con cousin Jack. And Aunt Mildred who bored us with lies called adventures. And Grandma Petunia with her gross wooden dentures. Goodbye to his side of the family. Good riddance. Of course, my own side of the clan ain't worth pittance. And now to the kitchen where, look, piled high are 8 million dishes and leftover dried pie. And the parlor is laden with paper and bows. When I get through this holy mess, God only knows. And then it's the rest of the year with the ills of paying the charges on the credit card bills. Know when that'll be over? Next Christmas, that's when. Forget it. I'm not going to do this again. I'm not mailing greetings. The cost is too much. I'm not stuffing stockings or turkeys and such. I'm not buying presents. I'm not going clean. I'm not going to decorate. I'll never be seen. I'm just going to hide for the season next year. You're all on your own. You can have your good cheer. Oh, who am I kidding? I know I'll do most. Don't worry. We'll soon once again overdose on turkey, on dressings, on potatoes, on yams, on cranberries, cornbread, on pies and on hams, on carols, on candles, on cookies, on candies, on ornaments, incense, on bells, and on brandy. On presents we've bought at exorbitant costs, on useless gifts gotten that always get tossed, on bowl games, on parades, on waiting in line, on mistletoe visitors, eggnog and wine, on wrapping, on traffic, credit card limitation. How can anyone call this dread thing a vacation? Still, I know pretty soon I'll be saying a lot. Happy Turkey Day. Merry Christmas. Have a good year. Not. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is going to be Desmond. Desmond with us from Columbus, Ohio.
"'Twas the night before our eviction from our adjustable-rate mortgaged house. No forwarding address, no three-month security deposit, no Joe the Average American bailout. The stock market just crashed 6.5 years to the day Joe refinanced, but his non-union job downsized him to the position of a hula hoop dance versus quitting, where there's no more retirement or benefits, just the benefits of non-gainful employment. As the result, the children grow unaware and hungry, nestled 6 to each bed, dreaming of video games, Facebook names, and basic cable, while the reality of a derogatory credit score, who's going to lease to me, who's going to sign, co-sign for me, who's going to even loan to me, dance inside our mom and dad's head. This stay-at-home mom in her work clothes, knowing a deputy sheriff would be in his cap, with paperwork to serve and day laborers to do everything but observe, just to put them out on their backs, like their property, to be set on the hedged front lawn. Snowy day, rainy day, garbage day, it won't matter. Don't be hurt and miss some tithes at church and not consistent enough will be the word, the message, the sermon. Oh. Yet over by the window, Dad's phone lights up with a flash. It's a bill collector at 9:01 in the morning wanting $350, not billion, or it's going to hurt his credit real bad. If I had it, I'd have paid it, Joe said. The bank sold my mortgage to folks who bet I couldn't afford it. Don't you understand? Joe said, mark this to my account. Next week, Thursday, I'm throwing $20 out my bathroom window, and whoever gets there first is going to feel like a lucky man. Due to his economic circumstances, what else could Joe say? The bill collector didn't think it was funny and hung up after saying, sir, I'm going to mark this down in your report as refusal to pay. See you in court. Just then, when Joe's stressed posture weighed too heavy, too late to run, a little old deputy named Nick pulled up with open handcuffs on his hand by his gun. not so lively, but this Nick was quick to rub you the wrong way. He joked, if this was Israel, they'd be the Palestinian movers today. We need just a few more days to, was all Nick let him say, but Nick pointed back at 8 reasons out of his pocket he does pay. He didn't even say no, just step aside or go to jail. Either way, everything's getting out today. Now, Nick was quick to grab the door and held it open to his endeared he implored. Go slow pay, on no pay, you two start upstairs, on foreclosures, on credit defaults, you two start in the basement. Now repos, those refinance, leave nothing in the kitchen but the sink, and consumer confidence, you stay here with me, distribute the bags and boxes. We still got 6 more houses to go on this street. And then in a twinkling, our ears heard proof, bagging, dragging, them evacuating everything under the roof. Bundles of our belongings covered the snow-covered lawn from front to back, not neatly or discreetly or like those of those AIG execs. Bankruptcy, while blinking his eyes, the drills made a dance with his hands. As they removed all the wet knots and locks, that's when we started feeling the gloomy dread. Now, this Nick spoke very few kind words. He swore an oath to go straight to his work, repossessing American dream-type possessions like an uncaring jerk. But I heard him explain, as they drove just out of sight, I'll be 10 years retired, the big three will have machines building cars, they won't need to hire or fire, and all these folks will be living in pod communities as refugees of the economy before their credit ratings will ever see the day of light. Y'all know they hiring at Walmart. I said right.
Kind of a combination of Clement Moore and Jay-Z there.
Hey, you know, I've been a fan of yours for years, and this is the first time in my life I got to call in, and I just thank you. You just do not know. You've made my new year.
Well, Desmond, you made ours. Thanks very much for your persistence.
Thank you.
And Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
We're talking about 'Twas the Night Before Whatever. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another emailer. This is from Michael, who wrote this while working as shift commander at the Gainesville Fire Rescue in Gainesville, Florida. Because he's cheating, he wrote it in advance. We're just going to read a bit of it. I stood by the Suburban and looked out on the ramp when an amazing scenario emerged from the damp. I saw there before me in dazzling white, eight tiny reindeer and a sleigh in full flight. In front of the engine, they landed with a bump. And out of the sleigh came Santa on the jump. He was dressed all in red, and I saw with great cheer, I should have seen it before. It was all bunker gear. As I took it all in, I soon began to ponder, is Santa a firefighter, a medic, or first responder? It seemed to make sense, and I was no longer nervous. Of course, he's the original provider of service. Let's see if we can get another caller on. Joseph with us from La Crosse in Wisconsin.
I am. Thank you. I have a little Christmas carol ditty that I think people will appreciate.
Go ahead.
Christmas bills piled on the floor. Every day the mailman comes to bring a dozen more. Oh, Christmas bills, how the stores will swear when they soon discover that my bank account is bare. Dashing off the checks, all in great amounts, mailing them today, knowing they will bounce. Bill collectors come, notify my boss. Now they take my salary. My life's a total loss. Oh, Christmas bills. You get the idea.
I get the idea. Not the tune we were asking for, but nice work, Joseph.
Thank you.
All right. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you. Thanks a lot, Neil.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go to, this should be Rex. Rex with us from Mountain View, California.
Hi. Let's see. I have a joke and a night before Christmas.
All right. What's the joke?
Night before Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas, with an all through the White House. Not a Bill of Rights was stirring. So where was the House and the Senate? The Constitution was completely shredded, and all through the Oval Office, All oil and coal lobbyists with glee were embedded. The environment was ready to be exploited. People who looked after species, and human and otherwise, had to bend so far as to be double jointed. Said Bush, history will judge me to be near the best, but people say otherwise. Bush follows presidents below all the rest. And that fellow that did the really long one, I would just want to say, was amazing. He blew me away.
Yeah, it was good. What's the joke, Rex?
Well, this is actually a little bit more closer to the end of the term, but this is a visual, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. This is a questionnaire filled out by historians and the American people, and it says, this White House has been A, the most corrupt, B, the most ideologically extreme, C, the least honest, D, the most inept, in the last 100 years, and the answer is checked, yes, all of the above.
Somehow I figured you were going there, Rex.
Yes.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. These have been terrific, I have to say.
Oh, well, I'm glad you
enjoyed it. Very creative.
Yes, you are. Here's another one. This is another cheat. This from Constance in Murray, Kentucky, who writes a weekly column in the Murray Ledger and Times. And this is the column she wrote for today. "'Tis the day before Christmas. We're ready for Santa. Our investments are worthless. We're chugging my Lanta. We hope he'll bring cash, for our coffers are bare and our 401ks plunge to zero, I swear. No eggnog, no bourbon, no fancy bibelots. I don't know what those are. We've tightened our belts and put grindstone to nose. We're working more hours and doing our best, but our savings is dwindling and we're getting depressed." Well, you get the picture. That from the Murray Ledger Times, Ledger and Times in Murray, Kentucky. And of course, we have one last entry. This from the Talk of the Nation staff. "'Twas the show before Christmas, and our editor groused that no news is bad news." Well, she's such a louse. "Our whiteboard stood empty, the holes all unfilled, the wires run scores and flack year-end puffery. When suddenly we all heard such a clatter and ran to the newsroom to see what's the matter, and there stood a guest host with a sleigh full of ideas, evergreens, features, news he'd boast, an airy bid fair to talk coast to coast on movies, on bailouts, on corruption and trends with Koppel and Amy, with Murray and Ken. For him, working Christmas is no great big matter. In fact, when we asked him, he seemed kind of flattered. As for me, I'll be nervous, eager to look to see if my stocking can fit comic books. I'll see you all Monday, bushy-tailed and bright. To all a good Christmas and to all a safe night." I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.